Blog.
When we speed up the course of molecules, we get energy. And since we are all basically just a mass of molecules, what does our brain send out to all the other parts of the body?
Lungs and exhale, do my nostrils and then separate my spiracles from my physical shell while releasing the breath of everlasting life, connecting my pituitary gland to my thyroid gland, which connects and inserts within my pineal gland, superimposing my veritary gland, opening the placenta, sit inside the crown center of the Bruta Rupa, iron belt, the entrance to the tundra, the sulfuric essence, the seven seas, she's in the center of my solar plexus, the immunate from the center point of my chest, no the amenta, which has correspondence with the Medusa and Oblongata, imploding like a lotus flower, revitalizing my pranayana, while unleashing my level neck from my cerebral cortex to apex, which enables me to holographic police, open up a massive, miraculous specimen of a vortex, linking my ether trying to fall to the universal intelligence matrix. Hurricane tips on my shoulder, peg leg pirate, nicknamed Osiris, move his cold autograph. The staff of the Mahdi, Mohammed Ahmed, seal of the prophets, new optic architect, select commit with the sculpture, vulture suits on my canteen, last seen in Heliopolis, fracture, took off, look off in his face, cycle of life disrupted, abducted by the seminal genitals, filled with chemicals, ejaculate reptilian, voice gets louder, face resembles Bowser, phallus exposed, hand tools by Yahweh, Zabwe is my front lawn, forms in the game, chest hairs curl with pearl, written by Melchizedek skeleton, extra melanin, in my wallet, the new Mount Zion, the mind of utilized under the Bermuda Triangle, we're in California for your mystery god. I exist at the bottom of the list, 144,000 chosen, well at the North Pole, waiting for the chance to land with camcorders, order of the Essenes, peeing on the Tree of Life. My twin brother was prenatal, the return of Cain and Abel, unicorns in the stable, uniforms of a halo, swing low, sweet triple bus, tickle up, pink panther, answer the question and give us a confession that you don't know, Reverend Preacher's technology. The Bible is the devil's autobiography, choreography, resembles pornography, raise the staff to call for now, at the swing of the sundial, sing for miles away, fade to horoscope through one eye, the third planet from the sun, the day of the gathering, shattering ignorance, celebrating Uruma, declaration of innocence before the Neperu of the tribunal, as we exhibit the entrance to the stargate before it travels, and it beyond time and space.
Of yes.
Yeshua HaMashiach resonated, the it is already written. The dope of Exum will perish and then diminish within the flame of the phoenix. Behold Masha Hadda of Khalifa El Musa, let's say I would add to Buddha as the Alami Mohayadin Sorakai of the Alam Green Limestone Crystal Regime, bearer of the double-edged sword of Alamda. Here in the depths of Illidale Shikwala in our dark to light, the nucleus of the Akasha. We are Koreans, explorers from the vast desolate desert lands of Nuba. I am the Masahaba, Koreans, explorers from the vast desolate desert lands of Nuba. Mashiach of Queen Sheba, to all blasphemers and Kaaba, they shall recite the Kaliba. They begin to check the Mataka, La Ila, Hala, Illidale, and then separate the solar plexus of the Akhmet, Pelopis, Rasulallah. They shall receive the breath of Yahuwah. I reveal to all those who claim to be Mukmin, Muhammad is what's hidden within the Kaaba. 359 idols of the moon deity Dina. In the scripture, interpreting the seventh chapter in the year 2003 AD. It's a planetary alignment. And with the eyes, you'll see. So open your eyes and you shall see.
You shall, see. Star Wars, speech rolls from all doors. Gargoyles and Flugarage escape this little pond. As the fall, looking like the book of life flows. Disappeared to Joseph in a dream state. Started clean state, moved to Iraq. It was danger for the strange in the manger. Change your ways, follow the sun rays on Monday. Day 10, build a playpen. Myrrh, frankincense, and 30 shekels of gold. Three souls, rose the glow. Follow the star, place the scroll in a hollow jar. Spar with Satan. In Ramadan, we honor John, son of 70, heavily caulked, fine on Zion. Lay the map, map, find where we at. Land of the pierced tongues, I remove my eardrums, replace them with bongos. Monotone, I roam, shango stone, recite a poem, he critique the beat. Took a seat, began to speak, remove your cleats. The street is holy, is what he told me, holy. He spoke, dagger and cloak, reached in his coat, off of the smoke, coughing slim from his throat. Old man with a gold hand, rolling jackass on the back path, Sudan back draft. Ask the question, which direction is up? He plucked the rose and suppose another grows in the same place, but it ain't the same shape. Would it be the same fate? See you at heaven's gate. He took his last breath, soul moved to Damascus, caught up in a rapture.
As I transcend celestial deserts in search of an oasis, vanishing dreams to lay the fundamental basis. My soul chases opposite dimensional spaces, material worlds is erases. I see a thousand faces as I look into the perpetual sea. A million children follow me into the molecular structure of infinity, and instantly we bond. Find ourselves growing inside the cosmic axis of the lotus as it starts to divide. Multiply by four, the four corners start to soar into the 16 attributes of the omnipresent door, which contains the quarter balance. When upset, contains silence and violence. Ignorance to science, hatred to alliance. Walk the thin line between allegiance and defiance. Between the role model and the kid who magnify hands. Combine with Shiva as we start to do the dance. With the fiery lance, destroying corruption. To make way for the eruption of the new age. Dive into the destruction of the blank page. Eliminate the atoms of the steel cage and do away with age. And do away with age.
Chosen as the omnipresent, supreme, ultimate deity. Widespread influence of spiritual gravity. Sources and forces of spiritual power. Travel the super universe in unison. And in cooperation. Plans of mortal ascension. Ancient commission. Walk on waters near the eternal Isle of Paradise. Twice sacrifice. Celestial trinity form. Metaphysical assembly. Trinitized. Ambassadors. Those high in authority. Masters of philosophy. Shadrach. Evolute. And combine. Energy, mind, and matter. Prophets laced in cloaks of gold and jasper. One strike disaster. Blood flood, hemoglobin, EVE probing. Left and right brain hemispheres. Shedding tears for the sake of the save the years. Of the coming sun cycle. Trice and serpents trapped within. Dream spirals lurk among rivals that hide. They despise. Tell them victim and slide. The harder they try. Start to backfire so they can't retire. Back to the lab. Study they tabs and diagrams. Become a living lamb like I am.
Can they hear you?
Greetings. Once again, you have caught Dr. Alim Zelbe's show. And today's topic is going to be on ancient America, hidden mysteries, and forbidden archaeology. We're going to get right into it. If you get the book, it's called Forbidden Archaeology, The Hidden History of Human. It's written by Michael Cremo and Richard L. Thompson. In there, they report that in South Africa, miners found hundreds of metallic spears well underground. And at the equator, there was grooves, parallel grooves. Now, according to scientists, the spears are found in a certain rock in which that dates back, as they would say, to 2.8 billion years old. Now, the spears are not natural objects. In other words, someone had to know how to smelt metal, and their origin is still unknown. He says, however, they obviously was created by intelligent beings. Now, that's in South Africa. And, of course, you know, us as melanated beings, black people, we trace our roots to Africa. According to scientists, they trace all humans, mankind, back to Africa. Well, what they don't tell us is that Africa might be the birthplace of man. However, man has been on planet Earth almost 3 billion years old, or 3 billion years ago. And obviously, to be able to smelt particular metals, which they say isn't even a natural object and the origin is unknown, that would mean not only was it produced by intelligent beings, but humanoids, beings who have fingers, who had technology, advanced technology, as a matter of fact, more advanced than obviously the technology in which that they have now, because civilizations have sprung forth and they have fallen. This is the epilogue of man for eons. The rise and fall, the tick or the tock, the weight of the unbalanced scales. We have seen this over and over again, the rise and fall of civilizations. We're talking about billions of years ago, not million. See, some of y'all are into this fictitious story that man comes from apes. Well, the ape species is only 20 million years old. So here we have man going back to 2.8 billion years ago, and the ape species is only 20 million years ago. So that destroys the ape theory, and that man comes from apes, if we would take this information in which that is written within the forbidden archaeology, the hidden history of humans. And it says of humans now, because we know mankind did not come upon planet Earth until through the Neanderthal during the last ice age. And according to the various schools of thoughts, whether it's the Moorish Science Temple of America, the Nation of Islam, or the Nation of Gods and Earths, the Five Ascendants, they all say that the Albion dates back to about 6,000 years ago. So we cannot take historical or apparent historical information and promote that. We have to go back into older testimonies, archaeological finds, and anthropological digs, actually. You know, we have to start using this information in order to verify, because the Smithsonian, the Louvre, the British Museum, the Museum of Cairo, these various places have been set up in order to obviously hide the information. Now, according to Scientific Magazine, or Scientific American Magazine, excuse me, Michael Cremor speaks about this also in Forbidden Archaeology. He said that a metallic vase, or vase, from the pre-Cambrian rock, he said that this is dated, this was July 5th, 1852, in the issue of Scientific American Magazine. It says, contained a report about blastings carried out at Meeting Hill Rock in Dorchester, Massachusetts, which is outside of Boston. It says the blasts disgorged tons of rocks described by the United States Geological Survey as pudding stone, over 600 million years old. What they found was bell-shaped metallic objects or vessels, which was blown from the rocks, that was about 4 inches high and was covered with exquisite carving, indicating the presence of artistic metal workers over 600 million years ago right here in North America. Now, they would tell you, if you believe it, I surely don't, that man supposedly came from out of Asia, Russia, crossed the Bering Strait into Alaska, down into Canada, down into the United States, as is now known as, into Mexico, into Central America, into South America. And this supposedly occurred approximately 20,000 years ago, when supposedly the first humans came here to America. Well, obviously, that's a lie. When we have artistic metalwork dating back to 600 million years ago, right outside of Boston, Massachusetts, in Dorchester, now, what they never told you in history class, a book written by Indu Kimit Kush, he states that the first Americans were black. Now, this comes also from the scholarly Latin author C.C. McQuees, who explains that the strong possibility that black people were the first people in America, out of which later came the red American race. It is likely that we repeat the long ago that youthful America was also a Negro continent, and that the Otomis of Mexico, the Corocos of Haiti, the Matayas of Brazil, and the Albions, or the Albino, excuse me, of Panama, are the remains of the aboriginal Negro race out of which developed later, which is known as the red or American race. Now, this is C.C. McQuees, Dr. C.C. McQuees, Latin author, scholar. He stated that. Also, Professor Alexander Woodenow, he stated unexpected faces in ancient America, added how black people were present in America in the most ancient or pre-classical times. The startling fact is that in all parts of Mexico, archaeological pieces represent Negroid people have been found, especially in archaic or pre-classic sites. The presence of Negroes with their trading masters in America before Columbus, said Professor Leo Wiener, is proved by the representation of Negroes in American sculptures and design, but more specifically by Columbus' emphatic reference to Negro traders from Guinea who trafficked in a gold alloy. All right? So this is what Professor Leo Wiener has written, and this is from his book, African and the Discovery of America. Africa and the Discovery of America. All right? Now, another testimony is from Nicholas Leon, in which that he states that ancient the African presence was in America. How ancient the African presence was in America? In fact, he states that the black people were the original people of Mexico. The almost extinction of the original Negroes during the time of the Spanish conquests and the memories of them in the most ancient traditions induce us to believe that the Negroes were the first inhabitants of Mexico. All right, this is from Historia General de Mexico. It was written in 1919. Also, you can find that work and information in Sex and Race by Volume 1 by J. Rogers. All right, so not only have it been verified that we was already here dating back, humanoids, intelligent beings was already here in North America over 600 million years ago. Now, this was before the continental drift, because according to science, the continental drift occurred approximately 225 million years ago, in which that When the landmasses were all together, it was called Pangaea. And the word pan is the Latin word for all. Now, what happened is that supposedly a great earthquake or the great continental drift occurred, in which that caused the landmasses to split apart, in which that formed the various continents, or the seven continents in which that we now speak of, as well as also the seven seas. Now, 600 million years ago, we was already in North America making things, smelting metals. So what we're talking about is various impacts upon America at various times, vast span now, very vast. We're talking about over 600 million years ago. To even now, scientists have to state, or archaeologists have to state, that the oldest testimonies for the first people in America are Negroes, i.e. Moors, i.e. said blacks, i.e. African Americans, whichever term in which that you prefer. Dark-skinned, complected, melanites, whatever you like, call yourself. I'm not getting into that debate tonight. However, this information has been verified by historians, by scholars, by scientists, geologists, anthropologists, archaeologists. So your debate is not with me. You have nothing to discuss with me. Take the information, use it to further yourself. Do your own investigation. Let's see how far this can really take us to really knowing ourselves once again. Because all this information is encoded in your DNA. Only thing I'm doing is trying to help you remember. As Oshawa Kwesi would say, tapping into your ancestral data bank. So that this information can come out of you. So that you can know who you are historically. We'll get to the spiritual aspects a little bit later on, not in this particular discussion of tonight. We'll speak about the metaphysics of the multidimensional being, of your various seven bodies, who you are at that level. Right now, we're dealing with the genealogy, your genes, your heritage, your birthright, your land connection, your nationality. This is what we've been dealing with now for the last 3 weeks. And this is very important that you understand, overstand, and understand this information. It cuts down on a lot of the debates in which that is going on, especially in which I see on Facebook, what we refer to as Facebook wars, you know. Now, another magazine is called Ancient Egyptian, or Ancient Egypt Magazine, April, May 2004. It speaks about Dr. Barry Fell, in which that he was a Harvard professor, in which that information coming from the Harvard library, in which that dates back to 1866, shows the Lord's Prayer written in Mi'kmaq hieroglyphics. Fell said that at least half of these hieroglyphics were Egyptian. He was able to prove from the writing testimonies of other priests that the Mi'kmaqs were using this writing when the first missionaries arrived. In fact, all of the northern Algonquin, the family of tribes to which the Mi'kmaq belonged, apparently studied the Algonquin language. He found hundreds of Egyptian words in the dialect of the northeastern Algonquin. Now, remember, we just told you that Dorchester, Massachusetts, is the northeast. So this is all taking place in the same areas. Okay. Harvard is located, if I'm not mistaken, in Boston, Massachusetts. So we're talking about in the same areas in which that this information is taking place, dating back from over 600 million years ago to even not too long ago of 1866 of hieroglyphics, you know, being written. Or I should say there's an ancient connection. So then, Barry Sells suggests that Egypt might have had intense contact with North America and is strongly supported by the huge boats which were discovered in 1950 adjacent to the Khufu Great Pyramid. It was buried between 2589 to 2566 BC. All right, the boats were perfectly capable of crossing the Atlantic. All right, so this is coming from Barry Fell, Harvard professor, from the Ancient Egypt magazine. Now, we know that the Egyptians definitely had contact here. If we go to Egyptian ruins in the Grand Canyon, archaeological cover-up by David Hatchett Childress. He states that perhaps the most amazing suppression of all is the excavation of an Egyptian tomb by the Smithsonian itself in Arizona. The lengthy front page story of the Arizona Gazette on April 5, 1909 gave a highly detailed report of the discovery and the excavation of a rock-cut vault by an expedition led by Professor S.A. Jordan of the Smithsonian. Now, the Smithsonian, however, claims to have absolutely no knowledge of the discovery or its discoverers. It is the idea that the ancient Egyptians came to Arizona, area in the ancient past, so objectable and preposterous that it must be covered up. Now, perhaps the Smithsonian Institute is more interested in maintaining the status quo than rocking the boat, which astonished new discoveries that overturned previous accepted academic teachings. And this is what we're doing tonight. We're overturning all of that nonsense in which that has been perpetrated, the things in which that you've been taught in school, the things in which that you've been indoctrinated with the rhetoric, the dogmas. We're destroying that. So it says historian and linguist called Hart, editor of Word Explorer, then obtained a hiker a map of the Grand Canyon from a bookstore in Chicago. Pouring over the map, we were amazed to see that much of the area on the north side of the canyon had Egyptian names. The areas around 94 Mile Creek and the Trinity Creek had areas, rock formations apparently, with names like the Tower of Set, Tower of Ra, the Tower of Horus, or the Horus Temple, as it's called, the Osiris Temple, the Isis Temple, and in the haunted canyon area with such names as the Cheops Pyramid, the Buddha Cloister, the Buddha Temple, the Manu Temple, and the Shiva Temple. Was there any relationship between these places and the alleged Egyptian discovery in the Grand Canyon? This is the question in which that was asked by David Hatchett Childress. Now, he says that we called a state archaeologist at the Grand Canyon, and we told that the early explorers had just liked Egyptian and Hindu names, but that it was true that this area was off-limits to hikers and other visitors because of the dangerous caves. Indeed, the entire area was the Egyptian and Hindu place names in the Grand Canyon is a forbidden zone, and no one was allowed into the large area. We can only conclude that this was the area where the vaults was located. Yet today, the area is curiously off-limits to all hikers and even in large parks personnel. Said the Smithsonian Board of Regents still refused to open its meeting to the news media or the public. If the Americans were ever allowed inside the nation's attic, as the Smithsonian has been called, what skeletons might they find? Now, we already know the skeletons that they'll find. It's in Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Cremo and Thompson. So we know what they, the skeletons, we know how far back that the real information that they have dates back, but they want to keep it very conservative based on the 6,000-year mythology of man coming into existence, of Adam and Eve story, the biblical story. They always want to keep it somewhere towards more of that in order to give you a religious perspective so that you can continue believing in white Jesus so that he can come and pick your ass up whenever, you know, he gets ready. You know, it's been 2,000 years and, you know, some are still, you know, waiting now. According to Ancient American Magazine, issue 73, it says ancient Egyptian carvings on rocks of New Jersey in the hillsides of Upper Manhattan, New York City. Now, this is by John Gallagher. He states that this cliff directly next to New Jersey, end of the George Washington Bridge of Fort Lee, New Jersey, shows a giant face whose monogram represents the pharaoh Shishunk, Unkhapa Ra of 767 through 730 B.C., and that these carvings was made around 750 B.C. during his reign. All right? Now, the Shishunk, or Shishunk, later becomes known as the Shoshone tribe. Okay? So the Shoshones actually are a group of explorers who came with the pharaoh Shishunk. 750 B.C. or so, and they stayed. Okay? Now, we find this information, according to the Empress Fidiasi Tierra Tonica Washitor Gaston L. Bay, the Empress of the Washitor Deducta Munya. She says the Washitor are the original inhabitants of what is now named the North Central South Americas. Therefore, the Washitor are not Indians. We do not accept the name African Americans, colored, or Indians. We, the people of North America, predominantly Washita, the ancient mound builders. We were here thousands of years before the amalgamated so-called Indian. The Washita Empire has many descendants, for example, the 12 Shoshone tribes or nations, the Cherokee, the Creek, the Chickasaw, Choctaw, which is Washita, the Seminole, which was called the five civilized tribes, the Blackfoot, the Sioux, the Kiowa, the Mohawk, the Cheyenne, the Yamasee, the Arawak, the Lumbee, the Montauk, the Nanakote Moors, who is also referred to as the Delaware Moors, or the Lenape or Ben Ishmael, Ishmaelite Moors, who they refer to as the Melungeons, the Mohicans, the Mohawks, the Comanche, the Nez Perce, the Neshi, the Pawnee, the Washoe, Tuscarora, the Catawba, the Mi'kmaq, as we just finished speaking of, the Osage, the Monopani, the Pohanti, the Pohanta, the Wampanoag, as well as many other tribal nations. All right. Matter of fact, if you get Spokane Gary, who lived between 1811 1892, he was called Chief Spokane. This is what he says. He says, we are black, yet if you cut ourselves, the blood will be red, and so that the whites, it is the same. Through their skin be white. I am of another nation. When I speak to you, you do not understand me. When you speak, I do not understand you. Now, Spokane Gary, the transliteration, I guess, of what he was saying, he says that we are black. All right? Now, he didn't say we was red. We'll continue on. In the breaking of the Mayan code, written by Michael D. Coe, he's a Yale anthropologist and a leading expert on the Mayan language. He says that the Mayan writing is many ways similar to the Egyptian. All right? He goes on that the Mi'kmaq language was discovered by the Catholic priests in 1609 when, as they preached to the Indians, they were shocked to see them taking notes in a strange language. The priests copied the characters, which much later was compared to hieroglyphics used by the ancient Egyptians and Libyans, and found that many of them were the same, had the same meaning. All right, you go to Dr. Leo Wiener in his Africa and the Discovery of America. He says when Columbus went to address the kings of the West Indies, he sent interpreters who spoke Hebrew, Arabic, and Chaldean. Excuse me? Now, what you might not understand what is going on if you study linguistics, you will find out that hieroglyphics, which is the Metuneti, the Mi'kmaq language, which is Algonquin, Hebrew, Arabic, Chaldean, or etymology, linguistically, are the same language, just different dialects of the same language. It is a known fact that Hebrew and Arabic has over 65% of the Metuneti language within it. This is why Hebrew and Arabic are referred to as the mother tongues. We'll continue on. See, this is information in which that really needs to be brought to the forefront. You know, it really does. So, you know, I'm definitely going to keep doing my part. Right here it says, according to the Arizona Gazette, Monday, April 5th, 1909, the headlines read, "The Exploration in Grand Canyon. Remarkable finds indicates ancient people migrated from Egypt, tracing back to Ramesses. Hieroglyphics was found on the walls, which were the same as the hieroglyphics in the Nile Valley." This is what it says. It was the same. All right. We got a little bit into last week. And let me go to the Holy Quran, Circle 7, to the chapter Egypt, the capital empire of the dominion of Africa, divinely prepared by Prophet Nobuhadra Ali. He states in there that the Moabites from the land of Moab, who received permission from the pharaohs of Egypt to settle and inhabit northwest Africa, they were the founders and the true possessors of the present Moroccan Empire, with their Canaanite, Hittite, and Amorite brethren who sojourned from the land of Canaan seeking new homes. Their dominion and inhabitation extended from northeast and southwest Africa across the great Atlantis, even into the present North, South, and Central America, and also Mexico and the Atlantis Islands, which we refer to as the adjoining islands or the Caribbean islands, before the great earthquake which caused the great Atlantic Ocean. Now, we showed you already, or told you already, gave you the books, you can go do your own research, in which that we demonstrated in Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Cremor and Thompson that there already was humans here 600 million years ago in the north, in the northeast, in the western hemisphere. And once again, Pangaea, which is when all the land masses were together, all the continents were together, dates back to 225 million years ago. So this is nearly 400 million years before the continental drift, before the Great Atlantic. Okay? So we have to understand that. Now, the Empress Vidyasi Tierra Washitor Turnica Gaston L. Bay, the Empress of the Empire Washitor, she says this: "The Washitor were and still is a nation of Africans who existed in the south or the southern United States and Mississippi Valley region long before the 16th century Europeans arrived, and even before there were Native Americans, the so-called red men, on the land the Washita once occupied and still occupied today. It says the indigenous people have been all over the world and specifically on the North American continent for hundreds and thousands of years. Actually, they were some Washita here even before the Africans arrived, deigned to win all the continents of the world were one land. Their land, the land of all the earth, was known by the indigenous name Mu. All right? So the Latin would be Pangaea. Mu would be the indigenous Nagal language, according to the Children of Mu by Church Ward. All right? Another good book in which that you need to get in order to tie these pieces of this puzzle together. All right? So, once again, all this information which they be talking about is being verified by black and white sources, as we would say. You know, Dr. Collett used to say, now you have it in black and white. Okay? That's how we moving. Now, right here, we also was talking about last week, Webster's Universal Dictionary, the 1936 edition, in which that defines American. And it states, an aboriginal, or one of the various copper-colored natives found on the American continent by the European, the original application of the name. So the original application of the name American was America. So they found us here on the America or American continent. Hence, we was already Americans. Hence, that's why the United States is of America and America is not of the United States. One has superior position over the other. Being that you're not United States citizens, that means that you are American citizens. Or Moorish American citizens. Here, in the definition of Webster Universal Dictionary 1937, it defines American again. It says an aboriginal or one of the various copper-colored natives found on the American continent by the descent of European settlers. The following is the original application of the name Maru. So now they show you that the word America is derived from the original application of the name Maru. That's M-E-R-U. Now, you go to a book by Julius L. Rose. It's called Heritage Restored, Volume 2. Many historians allege that the honor and the credit went to Amerigo Vespucci as an explorer. Cologne did not discover anything, nor did Amerigo Vespucci. Nor did the European name it. The word America was developed from the Metuneter name Maru. You see that? Once again, it goes back to the Metuneter. Hieroglyphics. Egyptian. Tamorian. And the name Maru means leader, chief, ruler. The word is also borrowed from the Arabic, as well as also Hebrew language, in which that it means emir, which means ruler, chief, governor, prince, etc. The European later corrupted the word Maru, reads Moro. Moro happened to have been at one time the capital of Ethiopia. Matter of fact, in Kenya, the Maru people still exist. The M-E-R-U people still exist even throughout Kenya and throughout Africa today. And we'll get into that in a second because I'm going to verify everything that I'm saying. I'm giving you the books. I'm giving you the information so you can go and do your own research and study. You get God and Spacemen in Ancient West by W. Raymond Drake. He got a chapter in it called Ancient America. And he says, in Central America, the word Americ signified great mountain, evoking Maru, once again, M-E-R-U, the sacred mountain in the Hindu traditions, said to be the center of the seven continents. Ancient America was linked with India through the Lost Lemuria or Lemuria. All right? You got another book. It's called the, oh man, it's written by, and what is his name? Oh, it's written by Mark Amaru Pinkham. All right, it's called The Return of the Serpents of Wisdom. In the chapter, he says the serpent colonists of the Americas. He said Amaraka, and he spells it A-M-A-R-A-K-A, means the land of the serpents. Now, don't get scared. You know, I know some of y'all, you know, y'all into the boogeyman scenario. You know, anytime you think or hear something about a serpent, you know, oh, man, you running like it's the devil itself when it's symbology. The serpent sheds its skin, just like you, the soul shed its skin, the physical body. That's what the scenario is. In other words, the land of the immortals. For those who master the Kundalini energy can become immortalized, because by mastering the Kundalini energy, you can begin to start doing a micro and a macro and microcosmic orbit in which that gives you the ability to regenerate yourself and to activate the 12 meridians through the two conceptional and the governing vessels of oneself. In other words, you can light your body up like a Christmas tree. This is what this is all talking about, so please don't get spooked. You know, don't drop the call. Stay your behinds on here before you can learn more information, because you ain't going to learn this shit anywhere else. It's getting too late in the game for niggas to keep playing with y'all. Anyway, being situated between both the Atlantic and Lemuria made the Americas both a stumbling stone and permanent destination for the serpent colonists traveling from both motherlands. It was also a favorite destination for extraterrestrial serpents arriving from Venus, as well as other parts of the cosmos. Don't get spooked out. All right, don't get spooked out. We know there's extraterrestrials, extraterra, astral energy on planet Earth. We were astral beings or Aetherians before the planet and the atmosphere condensed, and we took on the elements through the condensation and became physical beings. All right, so don't trip. Let's explain this. According to the descendants of the early Lemurian record keepers, the Andean elders, the entire American land mass was anciently known as Amaraku, Amaraka. It says the land of the immortals or the land of the wise serpents. The title Amaraka is derived from the Lemurian word Amaru, meaning snake or serpent. All right? The Ka denoted serpent and wisdom. According to Helen Blavatsky in her book The Secret Doctrine, she states that America is referred to in the Hindu Purushana legend as Potola, the kingdom of the Nagas, which means serpents. The kingdom of the Nagas. So yes, you go around calling yourself niggas, whatever shit, you got it right. You got it. He goes on to say, the serpent colonists of South America. Aramu Muru, the serpent Muru, one of the earliest immortal serpents from Mu to colonize America, was Amaru Muru, the serpent Muru. Right now, Maru is spelled M-U-R-U. Now, of course, the Empress spelled it M-U-U-R. More. Hence, we get later on the M-O-O-R. But according to legend, he says, moments before the Mu's final demise, which supposedly dates back to over 90,000 years ago, demise, the serpent Maru, along with his consort, Arama Mara, boarded an airship and headed to South America with a cargo of sacred records and artifacts, including a huge golden sun disc. The mountains of South America, the Andes, resonated the same yin vibration as the beloved Mu, and were thus considered suitable for the preservation of the Lemurian culture. Now, of course, they will have you to think that the word lemur, which is a monkey-looking creature, is where the name Lemurian derives from. But actually, it's Elmorian, El as in God. All right, this is just one of their little tongue-tied tricks or technology in which they tried doing. And it says they were also home to the city of Paiatiti, one of the planetary headquarters of the Solar Brotherhood. An organization, Aramu Muru, had been a high-ranking member of the Mu. All right, now, this is actually where we get the term Moor American or Moorish American from. Actually, it's from this particular name of Amaru Muru. All right, this is where you get the Amaru Washita from, or the Mexican Washita Moors from. All right, this is where the origin of this information comes from. All right, also, we have Ancient American Magazine, again, issue 61. Make sure y'all stay in the Ancient American Magazine. It says, The Real Origin of America by Thomas Strider. It says, Ancient American author David Dill included the scuffling at the establishment acceptance of an old world book in which that he published. It says, through initiating the etymology of using a commoner's first name, Amerigo, to arrive at the name for an American continent. This is what he's saying. Yeah. Excuse me. Now, Thomas Strider, he said he actually spoke to Mr. Dill on the phone, and Mr. Dill told him in a conversation that his book was preserved in the Madrid National Archives, and that he mentioned that the word Amir in Hebrew also meant summit of the mountain. Now, he spelled it A-M-Y-R. Of course, within Arabic, it's spelled A-M-I-R. While the ancient Hebrew signifies something that is as in wilderness, the mountain wilderness, this is where he gets the origin of the word from. Okay? So, even in Ancient American Magazine, The Real Origin of America, he takes it back to Hebrew and its Arabic roots. Of course, dating back also to its ancient Egyptian or Kemetic roots, which is Meru. So, or as he would say, Amir. All right? So, once again, we're seeing how all of this information correlates. Now, in The Celestial Ship of the North, written by Valestia Stratton, she states that the word Meru, now, she give it the metaphysical meaning of this. Because now, remember, we just said that it means governor, prince, that it means summon up the mountain. All of these words are what correlates to the word Meru, or Amir, or Moor. Now, check this out. It says, Meru, garden of the tree of life, the pole, or the polar region said to be like the seed cup of the lotus, and the lotus of immensity. Meru was called the great world altar stairs, by which man could climb heavenward. At each step, a planetary heaven was established in their different cycles of time. Meru was also a name for the Thai, the matrix, or the mother. Occultists have described it as the altar mass of glory, all right, or the heavenly haunts of the gods in heavenly choirs. Now, you got to understand what this is talking about. This is talking about consciousness. It's talking about when this energy, the kundalini, raised through the 33 vertebrates at various points where the chakras are located at, it gives off a particular impression of consciousness in which that allows you to free yourself from the matrix. Hence, when you read about the angel Uriel wrestling with Jacob, and Uriel hit Jacob in his thigh, what happened? Jacob's name was changed from the supplanter, because Jacob within Hebrew means supplanter, to Israel, which means to ascend to God, or to ascend to El. In other words, to go up. So it says not to be reached by sinful man. So you can't reach Maru by to be a sinful man, because guarded by the serpents, because it's guarded by the serpents. Hence the sacral nerves, the Ida and the Pingala, the two nerves in which that crisscross up the spine. There's 31 nerves inside of the spinal column, and there's two nerves outside. So hence 31 plus 2 is 33, plus the 33 vertebrates, hence 66. The reason why you have 66 books in your Bible, and why the Bible is called the basic instruction before leaving earth is for its acronym, and the reason why it starts with the book of Genesis, which is your genes, your genealogy, and hence it ends with the book of Revelations to reveal what is inside your genes, your ancestral connections. And the way you do that is up through the seven seals, which is through the seven chakras, the seven churches. So hence, these were the fiery serpents, the winged whales. It's four rivers or cardinal points of the world, all right? Within your physical body, those four rivers would be your prostate fluid, your seminal fluid, your spinal fluid, and your cerebral fluid. Those are the four rivers, the waters of life. And it says, was symbolized by the four sacred animals, the protectors of mankind, who was the watchers over karma on the earth. Now, this is the zodiac. These various signs are called the cardinal signs. It's the same within the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniels, where it says that Ezekiel saw a head of a man, that is Aquarius. He saw a calf, that is Taurus, or a bull. He saw a lion, which is Leo. He saw a scorpion, or better yet, an eagle, as he referred to it as, because there's three symbols for Scorpio. You have the snake, the serpent, or which is also called the scorpion, as well as also the eagle. So those particular four signs correlates to the particular points on the zodiac. You have the cardinal, mutable, and fixable points on the zodiac. And they were saying that these watches correlate to the watches of karma. All right. It says, Maru was the celestial mountain to where the gods and the highest celestial beings dwelt, as well as the mythical birthplace. All right. And it says, is the celestial pole, the throne of Jehovah. Ru is the mouth, the outlet. Now, that's the medulla oblongata. Maru is also the image of an island, a lotus, the tree, the co-type of emanation from the water. It was celestial. So she gave all of the metaphysical, esoterical points behind how not only about a tribe of people or a clan or a nation or an empire of people, but what Maru actually means to you physically, chemically, hormonally, ethereal, astral, spiritually, mental, emotionally. So she was showing you all these various connections to yourself being a multidimensional being. In the Kundalini Yoga, written by Sri Swami Sivananda Saraswati, he states the esoteric meaning of the word Maru. He says, man is a microcosm. Whatever exists in the outer universe exists in him. All the worlds are within him, and so is the supreme Shiva Shakti. Now, Shiva is the soul embedded inside the pineal gland. Shakti is the kundalini at the base of the spine. And when or Set awakens, which is the kundalini, the Shekinah, or Sekhmet awakens, and she travels up through those seven caves or holes or chakras or churches, the wheels of light, color, and sound, as they refer to as, she opens and activates Osaw, who sits on the throne. The throne is the pineal gland. The soul is embedded inside of the pineal gland, and it awakens him from that. At the point of the merger between Osaw, which is Isis and Osiris, they produce Horus, which is Heru, which is the awakened or the awoken soul. This is when the soul is now able to leave the confines of its prison or prism, which is the pineal gland, the swaddling clothing, or the mummified wraps, the caress. All right? This is what this is all talking about. The body may be divided into two main parts, namely the head and the trunk on the one hand and the legs on the other. And man, the center of the body is between these two, at the base of the spine where the legs begin. Supporting the trunk and throughout the whole body, there is a spinal column. This is the axis of the body, just as Mount Meru is the axis of Earth. And you remember, you're in Meru. So America is the axis. This is the reason why they say that whoever becomes president of America sits at the helm of the world. Hence, man's spine is called Meru Danda, the Meru, or the axis self. Now, we know that the spinal column is the backbone of Osiris, called the Djid. You take the D off, it becomes the word Jedi. Hence your Star Wars sagas. So this is what all of this is talking about. All right? We're getting ready to go to break. Afterwards, we're going to come back with some questions. And hopefully you have some good questions for me, and even make this thing a little bit more interesting than what we just finished going over.
Hold the other cause the North Pole. Havoc begins when these polarity, but separately can win. I look to the heaven, dark clouds formed around the sun, making it become black as she glowed. The full moon became wet unto blood, this side of the whole universal pattern, and you shall perish with it. The unrighteous, the skies become thick with holes in it, because of the depletion of the ozone layer, that looks cellular to organic soil, scorching the ocean floor. Spread rapidly, with a product of the curve, coming from poisonous refungus, polluting the water, growing deformity, alien bacteria in the sea. Sea life begins to die, water becomes that one now. Seven state of slumber, I release seven thunders from the tear. I built the entombed ring and walk for 17. It takes me in days to resurrect through seven transitions of death. I entail seven plagues to uphold seven properties in the form of not the dominant. This is the as beholder. The
the return of the Yamasi, guided by the Anunnaki, Elohim, supreme beings, Riskians from the 12th planet, who landed assuming the position of humans. Tune into the Igigi, who see me in electromagnetic current etheric sequence. My defense mechanism is the biorhythm of eight, which create a state of tranquility. And amidst 144,000 Allahum, Kafund, and Aridu, the return of the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, the Scarabino around my neck connects to Met to the inner fun, which spun to the direction of Betum Re, as he prayed healings from the hem of his golf in his arm, stretches forth to the lost but now found, and you were not bound as Chief Marco Castle in the form of Osso, and Utu and Shemesh, lunge forth to replenish the image of Ilium in tune with Middle Sea. I flee the earth to work along ice and under, to seek pundas upon the Amalite, to smite the troglodytes. We fight the 3 degrees who've been slaves since the days of Inki, who made a bond with the beings from Kakyan. I walk through Kush, wearing the red tar bush, with a gold tassel, I enter the castle of the Palashan, tossing the Wabian tongs to alarm the chosen people. The evil created by Hilal, we shall corral the multitude beyond the mood of vibration to create an illustration of the epics of creation. Waiting for the Shamsalan, while you wait for the year 2000 when a computer shuts down, not a sound will be made except in Germany when a witch named Anna Blavatsky, headed by the Theosophical Society, it'll be Darrow versus the Tarot, Pharaoh versus Moses, Novus Ordo Seclorum, the form of the Illuminati.
These five warriors to protect Tao. Each upholds honor and integrity.
Do they fight with Kung Fu?
They use the force of nature's elements. Wood, fire, earth.
All right. I'm going to try to go to the lines. Caller ended in 904, 5492 ending. You're on the line. Any questions? Ended in 5492. Caller, you're on the line. You can go on and ask your question.
I'm sorry, I had the phone muted.
Oh, okay, there we go.
I was calling to get more understanding, as I was speaking to your wife earlier, more understanding about premonition, like what is the exact meaning of it?
Well, basically that means that you are becoming more conscious of what's going on around you, not just on the physical plane, but also on the ethereal and the astral plane. Your ethereal body is about 2 inches above your physical body, and your that is called your inner aura, and then your outer aura extends about 3 feet outside of your physical body. What you're doing is tapping into the Akashic records, and that ability is one of the gifts in which that is spoken of, which is the gift of prophecy. Which is being able to fortune tell or to be able to see future events take place. That's premonition, or having a gut feeling, or what's called instincts / intuition. Your abdominal brain is also a brain, which is your scientists have tested the gray and white matter in your stomach area, and they have found neurons, the same type of neurons in which that exists in your brain. So hence the reason why when you're feeling nervous, you feel the butterflies in your stomach or your abdomen area, because that symbolizes a brain also. So you can tell things in which that is going on by either using your animal nature, which is your animal abdominal brain, or either, which is called instincts, or either your intuition, which is your spiritual brain, which is your divine mind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That sums it up for me. Thank you.
All right. There we go. That's what we like doing, getting your answers, getting some answers for them questions. All right. Peace. All right. We're going to caller 9554. You're on the air. You're on the air. Once again, caller 9554, ending in 9554. Caller, you're on the air. Start with 313. All right. We can go to the next call. Ending in 7397. Caller, you're on the line. Caller ending in 7397. You're on the line. Peace, peace. Peace. You're on the line. You're live, brother. You can ask the questions. All right, caller, ending 5492, you're on the line. You're back on the line. You're on the line. All right. Caller 919, you're on the air. Ended in 1482. Caller 1482, you're on the air. All right. Now, hopefully we can get some of these callers to start saying something here in a minute. All right. Caller 5881, you're on the air. Caller 5881, you're on the air. Ending in 5881, you're live. Peace. Peace. All right, caller ended in 9554. You're on the line.
Yes, peace and honor, God. I have a question.
Yes.
Are there any up-and-coming events that, you know, that we should look out for and what you'll be lecturing?
Well, we have the event coming up on the end of this month, July the 31st. I'm going to be lecturing with Brother Umar Johnson. It's going to be at the Harriet Tubman School on 128th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue in Harlem, New York. The time is going to start at 4. I think the doors open at 3. Come on out and support us. I think the admission is $20. If y'all want more live and close or personal information, just like we drop here on the show, we advise you to come on out and support us. So that's going to be July the 31st.
Okay, word. And anything make it manifest in August?
Well, we're supposed to have a lecture coming up August the 20th, that weekend actually in Canada, in Toronto. We waiting word back for that, and hopefully that I can tell everybody about that maybe in about another week or so.
Word, that's powerful. How about anything in the Chicago area?
Yeah, we have a lecture coming up actually the August the 7th. Actually, in Chicago.
August the 14th, right?
Is it August? Okay, August 14th. Okay, shoot. All right, August the 14th, everybody. We're going to be in Chicago.
Word. That's peace.
And I get more details on that once I speak with the brothers about it.
We'd also like to invite anybody who's interested into the Moorish rites. Where would that meeting be taking place and on what day?
That's going to be in Baltimore. That's going to be during the 11th through that weekend of the 14th. So it's kind of close, but yeah, that is going to be going on during that time period too in Baltimore, Maryland.
Word.
All right. Caller ended in 7397.
Well, nice smoke.
Peace. 7397, peace.
They say, oh, yes, brother.
Peace, peace.
How you doing, brother?
Going well,
I just got a quick question. Have you heard about all the hype about Obama and Akhenaten correlation? Can you explain that?
Yeah. They've been comparing this picture before he even became president to Akhenaten, and his wife to Queen Tiye, or Queen Tiye, who is actually the mother of Akhenaten. So they've been doing those correlations here for a minute, for at least the last 4 years that I've noticed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was just interesting because he has all the signs and symbols, you know.
Right. Well, if we're talking about Akhenaten, then, of course, Akhenaten becomes the one world ruler of the religions. He unified the religions up under Aten, in which that biblically becomes Adon or Adonai, which means Lord or Master within Hebrew. Within the Greek, it would be Adonis, who is the brother of Hercules, the son of Zeus. So these are the correlations, you know. And Adonis was symbolic to the sun, just like Adonai is symbolic to the sun, the sun disk, and just like Aten is symbolic to the sun, the sun disk. So he's symbolic to the sun also, you know. So those are the correlations as far as getting wrapped up into, you know, how great he is. I'm not into all that hype. I'm into myself. I suggest everyone be into themselves before they can raise their own Kundalini energy, before they can become the most masterful God on this planet and elsewhere.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, brother. I'm not sure.
All right, Doc. Peace. All right, caller ending in 0662. Be on the air. You are live. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out how to meditate. I want to learn how to get into deep meditation.
Okay.
And I've been practicing breathing that you talked about last year.
Right. Do you mind using herbs?
Yeah. Oh, I'm a herb freak. I'm a health freak, so.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, herb was that you can use is sage. You can use various plants to open up your lungs, such as peppermint, spearmint, lavender, rosemary.
Peppermint plant. I see the little green leaves sometimes. Is that okay to chew on or no?
Yes, it is. Eucalyptus. What these are mullein. What these particular plants do is open and activate your lung meridians, in which that when you do the exercises, the breath techniques, your passages are clearer. There's less mucus. And with less mucus in the lungs, you're able to breathe deeper into the various lobes. There's 5 lobes on the right, 4 lobes on the left, which give you a total of 9 lobes. Since completion, the number 9. Now, when it comes to tapping into the meditation, if you want deep meditation, there's a plant called the Tabanathi Ibuga plant, in which that is 70 times more potent than the marijuana plant, in which that if you drink one cup of it, it can actually take you into the astral plane.
So is that like that ain't the hemp, is it?
Nah, this is more powerful than hemp. 70 times more powerful. This is called the Tabanathi Ibuga.
So where would I find that at? I'm in Florida. I spoke with your wife earlier.
This is from West Africa. There's a plant. There's a plant from West Africa. You can do your research on the Tabanathi Ibuga plant. Right, the Tabanathi Ibuga. All right. I-G-O-B-A, Ibuga.
Okay.
And they no, I-B-O-G-A, Ibuga. Yeah, exactly. I-B-O-G-A. So the Tabanathi Ibuga plant. So do your research on it, and you'll see it's 70 times more potent. And what happens is that it manufactures, when it's drunk, DMT, which is DMT is the chemical in which that is produced normally during the time of our birth and our exit death. What's in the physical body, but it gives you a glimpse of heaven. Now, of course, you know, that can be used to do so. Also, passion flower can be used, which you can get actually from any probably herb store, in which that you can brew and take that as a tea. Also, that can put you in a deep meditative state also. Not as deep as the Tabanathi Ibuga plant. That is the deepest plant in which that I know of, in which that can actually take you to those levels.
So you drink this stuff? Am I going to
boil it? You can drink it. This you know, you don't, you know, this isn't weed, so, you know, you ain't got to smoke that joint, pass that joint. You know. But anyway.
Okay, I remember you talking about some sounds, too, healing sounds or sounds like those Buddha people make at times when they're praying.
Right, the ohm sound. Right, the ohm sound helps cause your vibratory rate to go beyond the third dimension into the fourth dimension. It's the fourth dimensional sound. Ohm is the fourth dimensional sound. So ohm. So that is the fourth dimensional sound. Matter of fact, if you go back to the old TVs, remember the straight antennas? They tap you into channel 2 to 13. That was VHF, very high frequency. When you wanted to go into the deeper channels, 14 through 83, you had to put on the circular antenna on the back, which was called the ohm antenna.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Right.
So I also went and got
that tapped you into a higher frequency. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I went and found where you get the vinyl record and put it on with the needle.
Right. Mm-hmm. The grooves. Mm-hmm.
Somebody said that was good too. Because
the vinyl symbolizes carbon. There's carbon inside of it, which correlates to your melanin. Melanin is carbon.
Okay. One more thing, and I'm sorry. I'm sitting hanging out, and I just decided to say, who thinks? I told everyone. I said, who thinks that 666 is bad? I mean, everybody went, yeah. Everybody know that's the mark of the beast. I said, I don't think it's bad. Do you think 666 is bad?
No, it's the sixth element on the periodical chart, carbon, which we are all carbon beings, or either carbon-based beings.
Uh-huh.
Humans are carbon beings, which means 6 protons, 6 electrons, 6 neutrons. It is your carbon atom. This is why atom was made on the 6th day.
Oh. Because, so, they got mad at me, and I told them I don't think it's bad.
Any good Bible Christian or Muslim would tell you that Adam was made on Friday, which was on the 6th day.
Yes, it is. That's the 6th day. Everybody thinks it's the 5th day, but it's the 6th.
Right. So actually, it is symbolic to the 6th carbon, or the 6th element on the periodical chart, which is carbon. And carbon has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, 6 electrons. That is the wisdom of man. Also, if they continue reading that, it's not just the mark of the beast, it's the wisdom of man, too, who is able to decode it.
Uh-huh.
So we've done decoded it, so there you go. You have your wisdom.
Yeah. because I was like, I don't think it's bad. I just don't. And they were like freaked out.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, they probably put up a cross at you, you know, like get stay away from
it. That brainwashed though. I just feel like you done been to church all your life, but your life hasn't gotten any better. It's
right.
Almost
and
like
hell, they can't answer no questions.
Power.
Right. Well, I mean, I haven't seen them answer any questions. You know, I was there for 20 years, and I ain't seen them answer a damn question.
Exactly. I mean, I used to get kicked out of Bible study, so I know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, yeah, you was in the same boat.
Well, I thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Peace.
Peace.
All right, caller ending in 9245. Caller 9245, you're on the line.
Peace, Salim. How you doing?
Oh, peace, all right.
Hey, I was just calling to expound on Saturn. And,
right, there you go. Go hit it up, God.
Yeah, how that relates to the so-called black race.
Right. So that is the sixth planet, isn't it?
Right. The Lord of Karma and how that corresponds to the Jews and how they, the so-called Jews, how they do the wrapping of the Teflon.
Right.
And they had the box on top.
Right.
Symbols on, they look like Egyptian lotus flowers.
Right.
So I was just calling to get some clarification. But I know on the celestial ship of the north, she goes into how the planet Saturn is related to the so-called black race.
It was called the black planet. And being that it's the sixth planet and being the black planet, that was actually symbolic to carbon once again. That was what the whole scenario was going to, and that was what the last caller, you know, wanted me to expound upon, was those connections with that number six. And everyone knows that according to the Christian mythology, that Adam was made on the sixth day. So, you know, and God supposedly rested on the seventh day. But Saturn, not just being the sixth planet, but is also where we get the name Saturday from, as well as also Satan from, in which
right.
that Satan within Arabic means a thing of clay. Well, what was Adam supposedly made from?
Right.
So the physical body is actually Shaitan or Satan, which is Saturn. Because in astrology, Saturn is what influences your blood, your DNA, and your skeleton structure. Well, you have approximately 200 bones in your body. And according to the book of Enoch, it says 200 fallen angels came down, and the first place that they came before they came to planet Earth was to Saturn. So those 200 fallen angels were symbolic to the 200 skeleton bones formations of our most dense part of our body, which is our skeleton system. That's what they were symbolic to. And it's talking about how we condensed and, you know, came into this physical body, this thing of clay, or this Shaitan, or Satan, you know. So this is what this is actually referring to.
Okay. The number six, does that correspond to Neptune?
It can, yeah. In which that is also a psychic planet also, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of correlations in which that we have, you know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, a good book. All right, yeah, a good book to read is The Dictionary of Symbolism, as well as also The Dictionary of Symbolism is probably the best one. Also, if you get the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary by, what's his name? Charles Fillmore. He goes into some of this information also. All right. We got caller 1066, ended in 1066. You're on the line.
Islamism, how you doing?
Islamism, how you doing, Islam?
Doing great. This is Brother Asaru.
Okay.
I just wanted you to... your standpoint on something. It's easy for, like, a lot of our people who haven't quite awakened to accept information from people that don't look like them.
Right.
What is your standpoint on that? And then my second question is, what do you think of Jordan Maxwell?
Jordan Maxwell has good information. However, he will not tie the information back to ancient Egypt because he still is under the guise of the Illuminati. In the sense that he is an agent of the Illuminati, just like David Icke is and Alex Jones, in which that they have a tendency of not tying anything back to ancient Egypt. It's always to Sumeria or Babylon. But when it comes to Egypt, they're mute. So what they're doing is making sure that they don't tie this information back to us so that we can continue staying in a state of sleep, but know enough information in order to be able to give them credence for everything, such as Within the Secret of All Ages by Manly P. Hall.
Okay, and your take on our people, and even a remedy if you can, not willing to listen to people that look like them, but rather listen to people who don't look like them, who don't have their best interest in mind.
Oh, well, that's fine. I mean, get the white boys for them. You know, white women, white women should get them. You know, get put on some Alex Jones. You know, hell, let Alex Jones scare the hell out of them. You know, with the Illuminati information, shoot. I mean, you know, shoot. He'll scare the hell out of them. You know,
right.
he'll scare them into consciousness. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Shit, put on David Icke. You know what I'm saying? Let them see David Icke talk about the reptilians.
Right. And that's,
you know,
all
I'm saying? Yeah, shoot. Let the white people wake them up. You know what I'm saying? We can't do it. You know, let somebody else do it. And then once they can get them to, you know, once they're awoken by them, then they can be a whole lot easier to listen to what we're saying.
Right.
I won't waste my time personally. You know what I'm saying? The blind lead the blind right into a ditch. You know what I'm saying? If they
right.
don't want to listen, then, I mean, that's where they're going to end up being anyway. And it's a little bit too late
right.
in the game anyway to be playing with Negroes.
Indeed. I was curious, and this is still along the same lines, because I've been approached recently about some of the Albions wanting to be Moors and
right.
participate and do our practices. Now, what's your stance on that? And that'll be my last question.
Well, they can't be sovereign here because they're not from here. They told us in their own history books, which we read thoroughly, we had to take tests on them. We had to get D's, C's, B's, and A's, so we know the history. They said they was invaders, that they were settlers, that they came from England and elsewhere to here. You know, so they can be called title sovereigns, but the only way in which they can be called title sovereigns is if they come through us, who are the real sovereigns. We are the real sovereigns. We are the most indigenous people here in the Americas, as we went over more than an hour ago. You know, so that's my stance on it.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. All right, caller ending in, beginning with 317, ending in 000, you're on the line.
Peace and love, God.
Peace and love, God. What's up with you?
Really nothing, man. I just had a couple questions. I wanted to talk about what the lady was talking about, 666, earlier. It
oh,
also
yeah, go
means
ahead and hit it up.
It also means perfection, because, you know, a perfect triangle has 60 degrees on all sides, so 666 will come from perfection. And
right, if I'm not mistaken, the six-pointed star, you know, is based on the 666 principle,
yeah.
You know, which is the symbol of man. You know, arm, leg, arm, head, and plus penis.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
My other question is, what's your take on this object that I'm getting around? It's called Elenin, which correlates to melanin to me. But, you know what I mean? And scientists have did studies that say our planet aligning with this object, Elenin or melanin, it's causing volcanoes to erupt, and it's causing earthquakes, and causing all kind of hell on the planet. So,
well,
can you give
well,
me a
they finally given a name to it, but you know, for the longest time it was called Planet X, and of course Zachariah Ascension, Dr. Malachi Z. York, and many others have spoken about this for almost the last 15, 20 years. You know, So, you know, now they're finally giving a name to it, in which they, like you said, it correlates now Elenin to melanin. You know, so of course they know there's a correlation, you know, and really, you know, it's Emia, it's actually Sirius C, you know, and they don't want people to know this, but that's actually what that is. That is the planet of the cross, and actually is the star Sirius C, in which that passed by the Earth, because we are. We actually go around Sirius A and B every 25,928 years, just like we do around the solar system, you know. So this is just part of us going around these particular star constellations and being in conjunction with the star constellation. This go back to the Dogon, who are the descendants of the ancient Egyptians. Matter of fact, the Dogon left out of Egypt after they built the various temples there around 6,000 BC. So it would be almost over 2,000 years ago when the Dogon left out of Egypt. And we know that their recent descendants were us, who was the Olmecs. And, of course, the Olmecs left from out of Mali, you know, out of Africa, and came down into the interior of Mexico, up into the Yucatan Peninsula, up the Gulf of Mexico, up into the Mississippi Delta, and spread it out throughout the South, in which that, once again, there was another impact of Africans or blacks, or said blacks or Moors, on the banks of the Mississippi River, in which that, according to many reports, one in particular from the Moor Science Temple of America, from Prophet Noble Dralee, he said that there was Moors all up and down the Mississippi prior to the Europeans coming. So we know that there was over 20,000 mounds that was there, built by the Olmecs and their descendants, who we now call the Washita, you know, who were the Dogons, who were the ancient Egyptians, so forth and so on. So this is how we was tying all this information together tonight, and even prior to that, before there was even a name, to over 600 million years ago. And you know the Dogons say that we came from the star constellation Sirius. This is actually what they say. You read Robert Temple's book, Sirius. There was another one by Hope and Murray, Sirius Connection, and then there's this one called Sirius. I can't remember the last part of it, but it was called Sirius something. I can't remember right now. But, you know, by Robert Temple. But both of these books speaks about the Dogon and the Sirius Connection, and how we are connected with the star constellation Sirius, because the Dogon say that our DNA comes from Sirius. And if you look at the elliptical pattern of Sirius A and Sirius B, it is identical to the pattern of our, to the elliptical pattern of our DNA, as well as also to the raising and the ascension and the descension of our Kundalini energy. Okay?
Possibly, you know what I'm saying, do something to wake up the black people that your lectures can't get to, or, you know what I'm saying, maybe other, you know what I mean, other teachers, you know what I'm saying, the people they can't touch. Do you think this object has anything to do with their awakening?
Well, I mean, you know.
Possibly, you know what I'm saying, do something to wake up the black people.
Right, right. Well, I mean, what's going to wake up? Just like it did for myself and even for you, you know what I'm saying, was hearing the truth. You know what I'm saying? I know that's what woke me up. You know what I'm saying? I just instinctively knew that there was something wrong, that I was not being told the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So just having that feeling innately caused me to go and look outside of myself in order to find the answers in which that would correlate to what was going on inside, what I was feeling inside, what I was thinking inside. You know, and it correlated perfectly, you know, and I found out that there were secret societies, that there was individuals trying to control behavior, control thoughts, control the food, control the water supply, control everything in which that is part of our food, clothing, and shelter, you know, which is the necessities, you know, and me personally, I don't like it. You know, so anybody who don't like it, they will end up doing what we're doing now, and that's rebelling and trying to tell others about what is going on.
hear you, God. Thanks for
right. If they can't feel it, then I'm sorry for them. You know what I'm saying? All that I can say, it ain't me. All right, peace, God.
Hotep.
All right. Caller ended in 1560. 1560, you're on the line.
Uncle Justin, Elaine.
Peace. How you doing?
I'm good. This is Sister Slow Jammers.
All right.
I have a couple questions regarding birth dates. My daughter's
yes.
coming up.
Mm-hmm.
She is the third generation, only daughter, and her birthday is the 23rd. And I know it has something to do with Sirius rising, and I know there's some ancient holidays, and my birthday is May the 1st.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could kind of let me know what the
law
is and maybe even what the ancient celebrations were.
May the 1st is known as May Day, in which that is Maypole Day, in which that there was rituals in which that was done throughout Europe, in which that was based on that particular day. That was like the first day of spring to the Europeans. So they did rituals in order to bring forth a fruitful, fertile season. So they actually was doing fertility rituals. So May Day or May the 1st actually symbolizes a fertility ritual. And there would be a long pole on which that would be put into the ground, and they would take ribbons and go around it in a circle and so forth and so on, in which that was all symbolic to the phallus symbol or the tekken or the penis, in which that they was actually given homage to, in which that causes life, in which that is called the magic stick or the magic wand symbolically. So that's what May 1st was actually symbolic to. The one actually is just like the figure of the phallus or penis itself. May actually is a feminine name, in which that symbolizes feminine energy and then masculine energy, which is the one. So those two coming together in order to produce life. Now, July the 23rd, that is symbolic, of course, to the rising of Sirius, according to the Dogon teachings. 23rd symbolizes also the break within, a particular connection piece. Within the DNA on the 23rd antrum, there's a break within our DNA, you know, in which that through certain mantras, you know, we can help unify and bring those things together. Number 23 also symbolizes the day of Sirius rising, as well as also, matter of fact, Sirius is on rise 2 to 3 minutes right before the sun does, you know, at that time period. So they go to number 2 and 3 again. There's a lot of connection with that number 23 in numerology.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I knew it was something to that. She also, she played basketball, co-ed from the age of 5, saw Michael Jordan when she was 3, picked up the ball and stuck her tongue out, and had been playing ever since. She got an illegal number, which was strange. She just picked up a jersey, and it was number 77.
Right.
She played ball for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of stuck with her. So we were just kind of wondering what that represented. We knew it was something special. We just couldn't put our finger on it.
Well, 777, that is the number, if you get Aleister Crowley's Kabbalistic writing. 777, he speaks about the fact that 777 is the word of Christ, or the word made flesh. It is actually the power of the throat chakra, in which that manifests things to existence. Sounds is what causes or forms geometrical shapes.
Mm-hmm.
Thought travels at 24 billion miles per second. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Sound travels at 1,120 feet per second. And from sound is what forms shapes, geometrical shapes. So it is sound slowed down from light, slowed down from thought, in which that forms everything that you see, touch, taste, and smell into physical existence. So 777 symbolizes that manifestation.
Yeah, I looked that up, and then I came across when they put Oz with it.
Mm-hmm.
The O-Z. Our last name is Osborne.
Okay.
Okay. And we're also from Kansas. And then my birthday is in May. My birthstone
right.
is Emerald, and, you know, so we kind of play with the little Land of Oz thing. Her,
right, exactly.
Yeah, her birthstone is Ruby, which is red.
Right. You, ain't nobody named Dorothy up in there, is it?
No. Well, my nickname is Dee.
Okay.
So we've kind of been trying to play around with that a little bit, too. But
right,
okay.
Right.
But I thank you, and we'll do some more studying.
All right, now, take it easy.
Thank you. Peace.
Peace. All right, caller 9303, ending in 9303, you're on the line.
Peace, Brother Ben. I'm calling because, and I've been looking for it, but I don't think I have the spelling right, and I was hoping you could just share that again.
What is the spelling? I didn't hear that part.
The spelling for the Tabernathy Ibuga.
Oh, Tabernathy is T-A-B-E-R. N-A-T-H-Y, Tabernathy, Ibuga, I-B-O-G-A.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, caller ended in 8110, you're on the line. 8110, you're on the line.
Yeah, peace, Mo.
Peace, Mo. What's up with you?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the show, bro. Yeah, real empowering show, man. I just wanted to, get your viewpoint on why, I guess in, like, so-called conscious community or whatever. Because, I already know what I came up with it. But why the so-called scholars don't like to speak on the Aboriginal Indigenous Moorish heritage here that date back, it's real, real ancient that you're speaking on. The Afrocentric and stuff like that, I want to get your viewpoint on that. Because, it's only a couple brothers really talking about this like this, a couple brothers and sisters, that's really digging into it like that,
Right. Well, number one, they don't know. Number two, if they do know, they won't show because they're bound by oath. If they do know, if they do show, they have broken their oath, and therefore they won't have anything in order to live for. Me, I have no oath. My oath is to the people as far as getting this information out and telling y'all what's what, and then let y'all decide on what we need to do. We're not trying to per se form any organization, or anything like that. We're simply trying to get information out to the people before they can make a wise decision on what they want to do when we go into 2012. Because the thoughts in which that will permeate during 2012, going into 2013 and beyond, which is the next 25,000-year renewal of history, according to Elijah Muhammad, will be the thoughts in which that resonate the planet to a particular frequency. And we're supposed to be graduating from the third dimension as we go into the photon belt, the dark rift, the fourth dimension, as we come out the dark rift on the other side of the photon belt, the fifth dimension. The third dimension is length, width, and height. The fourth dimension is dealing with time and space, which is death. And the fifth dimension is dealing with energy. So we want to go into the next dimension dealing with things properly. And if we don't have the right thoughts, then it can become detrimental for us. No doubt about it.
Yeah, no doubt. I know. I was wondering, did you hear Brother Ali, Dr. Ali Muhammad, him speaking on this same, information? I was wondering, I'm gonna ask him too, if y'all can, come together with a DVD or a book or something on the same information, because I know. Like I spoke to him about the two organizations, Moorish organizations that I know about that's going real hard with it, that been going hard with it. Speaking of the Empress, the Ouachita, y'all, in the Ouachita and ISIS with Ali. So y'all,
That is something that supposed to have been in progress for over 10 years now. So, almost 10 years. I would say probably about since 2000 and 2003. So, you know, for the last 8 years, this is supposed to have been manifesting. So hopefully it will manifest. If the people keep putting out positive thoughts like the way you're doing it, brother, it will manifest. And quickly, you know what I'm saying, you will have a book in your hand.
That's peace. All right. All right, well, keep doing the thing, Mo. No.
Right.
All right,
thank
peace.
You. All right. Peace. Islam. All right, caller 1066. Caller 1066, you're on the line. You got a question?
I apologize more. I apologize for some reason.
Okay. Oh, is that
but
right, brother?
I'm enjoying
this. Appreciate that.
Peace.
All right, we're going to the next caller, ending in 0596. Caller 0596, you're on the line. You're live. Come on in with us.
Peace, brother. I leave. Calling from Virginia.
All right.
Peace. Look, I wonder, can you help me with this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about those beings that was in the Grand Canyon and say again?
Wait, you talking about the giants?
Well, I didn't know they were giants. You know, it's like an upright sphinx back there, and some hieroglyphics and some mummified tombs back there.
Right, it is. Right, it is. Well,
now,
all of that was in the article that I was reading about the explorations in the Grand Canyon. It actually, matter of fact, they're online. You can actually pull up the Temple of Orset, which is in the Grand Canyon. They have a picture of it. They also show you where what is found on the walls where the hieroglyphics is actually found at, that carving or that cave area. That is actually online. Also, they had the Buddhist temple as well as the Cheops pyramid. All of that is actually, the pictures are actually online. You can pull them up. You know, if you go to the Arizona Gazette, Gazette, Monday, April 5th, 1909, they have that information. And it does speak about everything which that you talk about, as well as also small people, which would be the Twa people, and also giants, in which that has been found, actually all the way from Ohio all the way down into Arizona. I mean, these giants...
Yeah.
Stood amazingly from what they have found. Some was as tall as 25 feet.
Okay. Now I'm looking at the, you know, I'm looking at the Kemet aspect of everything. So these people had it came from Nile Valley, right?
Yeah. The recent with the Omex being the descendants of the Dogons and the Dogons being in Egypt over 8,000 years ago shows that all of that was the ancient Egyptian or ancient Tumerian or connection, yes. And we are the descendants of the recent impact, of that recent impact. And they, plus the scientists say that the oldest civilization which they have found thus far in the Western Hemisphere was the Omex civilization. So that would be an Egyptian civilization. Hence, they were the ones in which they helped build the mounds. These actually did descend us earlier. I've gone to some mound sites, and the curators of the mounds, as well as also of the museums, actually have told us the truth that some of those mounds date back to over 30,000 years ago. But yet, you say that man just got here 20,000 years ago. So which one is it?
Yeah. Now, you know what my take on all of this is? I don't know why black people hate, you know, Kemet, you know, Egypt, you know, talking about, you know, the Hebrew.
Because they don't know.
You know,
how you going to hate the greatest civilization that still exists where your ancestral work can still be recognized and you can verify the information? How can you hate yourself on that? Oh, I know. Oh, because you believe the Bible in the Exodus story of some Hebrews leaving from out of Egypt. And so Pharaoh became demonified, you know, based on that scenario, and so everything associated with Egypt has now become demonic. Oh, okay, I see. Bullshit.
Exactly. And you know another thing, you know what it took for me to wake up? I went up to Cairo, right? And just by chance, I didn't know all this stuff was down in Luxor. end up right. there in Luxor, man. It wasn't up with pure love down there for me, man. And I saw these tunes. The brothers took me in the tunes at night. I didn't pay a dime to see none of that stuff. Back there in Harbor City, I went in there at nighttime. The brother lived. You could throw a rock. You could throw a rock from his house right in the courtyard. So I'm saying, man, a revolution kicked off in my head, and I was on the rooftop, and I was up there for like 35 minutes, and when I looked and turned around, there was the goddamn temple of Hatshepsut, and I like that lost my damn mind. It was so good to me. I left.
Right.
Came over here. My wife was fighting on me. I said, baby, I got to go back. You either come with me or you stay. And I stayed about 3 more months.
Mm.
It was good to me. And I want to go back.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, well, when you go, make sure you take me out. So keep that in mind.
Look. I was living with the people. I popped up on their ass like Houdini. I didn't go on no tour. All by myself. We go over there together. I can carry you some places.
Well, hey, I'm ready, Ock. I'm ready. Keep me in mind.
My name, JoJo. But one thing I'm scared of. I mean, not scared of. It's just these people done stepped in my damn plan or messed everything up. Cause if this was 10 years ago, man, I'd be back and forth to Egypt anytime.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right.
And this brother, man, this brother got his own hotel. He got about 15 rooms, man. And he done called me several times. I got to get back over there, man.
All right. Well,
but I don't know why black people hate Egypt. That's where all the bones at.
Yeah, well, they hate themselves. I mean, it's nothing more than another form of self-denial and another form of self-hatred. That's all. You know, and as long as they keep hating themselves, I mean, they will never find the answers to life, you know?
And look, check this out. I want you to go to Visions of the Past. It's a YouTube joint, and I didn't know Indians was black. The only Indians I thought, this old brainwashing bull crap, I thought the only Indians was white and light. These ones I saw was black as a tie.
Exactly.
Visions,
that's us. Right.
Hey, man, it's so many lies, man. I feel some activating in me, man. And all it takes is the right truth.
Glands,
pineal gland, anything going to just start spinning. All we need is that
right.
truth.
That's right. That's it.
So.
That's it. All right. Thank you.
Peace.
Caller ended in 0948. 0948, you on the line.
Mono Tap, Brother Lim.
Mono Tap, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm real good. I'm blessed.
All right.
Glad to hear you. This is I'm actually Brother Abramelin in the chat room, man. Yeah, man, I got a couple of questions, man, and I whipped out my notes and got them all prepared for you. First, I would like to get into the backside of the tree of life, going
right.
to die. You can expound
right,
on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, the clip off. Remember, there's two trees that's mentioned in the Old Testament. Those two trees is one, the tree of life, and the other is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, we already on the backside. Remember, that's the tree of life, the tree of knowledge and evil, which that we ate from.
Okay.
You know, so actually, we're already on the backside, you know. That's the clip-off, you know. We traveled up that path already, which was the Satian path, in which that dealt with mastering the Kundalini energy, which that would eventually bring us into the knowledge of self through the spirit of Doth, which would be the fourth Sephirah, on the tree of life,
right.
you know, with the spirit. So that's actually how all of that is connected. You know, we're talking about actually chakra systems, descending and ascending energy, in the body, as well as also activation of Kundalini energy, or the serpents, or those particular serpents going up through those various spheres of light. You know, all of that is symbolic to activation of the Kundalini and the chakra system. That's all. You know, descending energy would be the Setian energy or the clip off, and ascending energy would be the tree of life. You know, that type of thing.
Would they have different Sephiroths on that, or, I mean, would you still use, like, you know, being a Chokmah, chest, Tipperoth, and all that stuff? Or does the backside have its own?
Yeah, the backside Sephiroth have its own. Yeah, this 22 tunnels of Set, which is on the clip off. There's 22 paths or 22 tunnels of Set. So it has its own names for that, you know. But I mean, basically, it's the same. Like I said, it's descending energy. So you know, it would just be the names in which that correlates to the names on the Tree of Life. You know, if you get, let me see, the encyclopedia of the Kabbalistic Encyclopedia, it speaks about all that information in there, and plus break down to you the numerals. Mm-hmm. It's by David Godwin, G-O-D-W-I-N, David Godwin. David Godwin, the encyclopedia, the Kabbalistic Encyclopedia.
Okay. All right. And then the topic of the show, we're talking about ancient American hidden mysteries and archaeology, forbidden archaeology.
Right.
How am I pronouncing this right? Tamacolin, Telecon? What is that place? Because I looked them up, and I believe I heard Dr. Valentine speak on them, but they got them listed as like some mythological place, and I was wondering if you can expound on that a little bit.
Tell me the name again. What's the name?
I think you're trying to say Tetragrammaton.
Tamochan.
Spell it one more time.
Tamochan.
Chan.
Tamokan. And I believe Dr. Valentine, I didn't go back to listen to the lecture, but I believe he was saying something like that was like the original name of the Omex or something like that.
The She people was also the original name of the Omex, you know.
Who was that?
XI. The She people.
Okay.
That is normally the referred to name of the Omex. The Omex, or the Omecas, that was the name given to them by the people who came in contact with them, because they was always cutting down rubber trees, so they became known as the rubber people. So hence the word Omec or Omecas. But their actual name coming from out of ancient, from out of Mali, from the Dogon people, was Ish, or She people. You know, matter of fact, that becomes the Shang or the Shin dynasty later on. That became the first dynasty in Asia. You had the Xi'an territory. If you go and look up where the pyramids are located at, in the Xi'an, the Xi'an Providence area of China, that is where the Omex built. That was the name in which they were using when they was in Asia. Now, that name that you gave me, that you just said, could have possibly definitely been the more ancient African name, you know, but that name correlates to Tamarian or Tamarian, which is the name in which that, which is the, according to Yusuf Ben Yakinen, he said the oldest name for the Egyptians was the Tamarian or the Tamari people. So, yes, they were the ancient Egyptians. The Omex were the ancient Egyptians. They inherited that same technology of building pyramids and temples and mounds. You know, and we inherited it too. It's within our DNA also. That's the reason why we've been held down, particularly the people here in America, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody around the world who's, you know, who are dark hue, you know, look to us, you know what I'm saying, for the world advancements, whether it comes from dance, music, inventions, you know, they look to us for that because we are in the land of the serpents. We are in the land of the immortals. We are right. That is us. We are the serpents. We are the Moors. We are the Nagas.
The Nagas, yeah.
We are the Naga Moors.
You know, ready to bust somebody in their head, you know, like nigger, you know what I mean? And
right.
You get that, you angry about that. You ready, like, especially after like watching Roots or something, you know, you went to school the next day.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying?
Right, exactly.
That's somebody, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, man, brilliant. Speaking on ancient Egypt, man, what was Aleister Crowley doing when he got in contact with AY?
He was doing sex magic, in particular homosexual sex magic, in which that homosexual energy builds electrical energy, but there's no outlet. You know what I'm saying? There's no outlet. You know, the woman is the magnetic attractive force. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She's the one who brings and manifests things into existence, you know, through the friction, which is centripetal and centrifugal force. That's the push and pull. You know what I'm saying? That is the that is symbolic to the prong and the socket. You know what I'm saying? That is what produces electromagnetism. Two prongs don't produce electromagnetism. Two sockets can't produce electromagnetism. So what he was doing was perverted magic, and supposedly what happened in 1904 through 1910 with the writing, or supposedly with this writing of the Book of Law during that time period, is the magic in which that he was practicing according to the OTO and according to the AA, which is the serious society in which that he was part of at that time, which is nothing more than off branches of the Golden Dawn, which is the Golden Dawn is the off branch of the Rosicrucians, Theosophical, Anthroposophical Society, and so forth and so on. All of them same type of groups and people, man.
So that whole thing blends over to these secret societies when you hear stories of you know, former President Bush and old boy in a coffin or something like that, I believe I heard.
Well, that's the Skull and Bone Society, secret society, you know, in which that, you know, in there, you know, they in the coffin and they have to tell all their dirty secrets, you know, and then masturbate as they're doing it. And they got to tell all their dirty secrets, and then, you know, once they jump out, you know, they got to get in a mud pool and wrestle, and whoever get pinned becomes your soulmate for life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so all of that type of stuff, man. They still doing the same rituals. And actually, eventually what it boils down to is them trying to keep a blanket of confusion over the masses, you know, to keep us
right.
in an ignorant state so that we won't never figure out who we are, you know, and them days are over. The closer we get to 2012, the mask is being revealed, the covers are being pulled back, the skirt is being lifted, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you want, the terminology you want to use, yo, we seeing, we piercing the veil, and the shit is over.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. Man, I got 1,001 questions, but I don't want to hold up the line, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you could do me a favor, could you give this 6-breath technique real quick? I don't know, you know what I'm saying, because I got that as one of my questions, and I don't have the technique written down. I believe it's like 3 and 9. That's why, if you could, brother, please.
You will breathe in for a count of 6. You will hold it for 3. Breathe out for a count of 6 and hold it for 3. So what you're doing is what is called the pranic breath. You're doing pranic breathing, in which that is called pranayama, in which that as you do it, on the 100th time that you do it, you expand your auric field from 3 feet to 15 feet outside of your physical body. In other words, you're strengthening. Right, pranayama, P-R-A-N-A-Y-A-M-A, pranayama.
Okay, I got you.
Right, that is called pranic healing breath, or pranic breath. Right, pranic breath. So that's actually the breath cycle that you really want, you know, because it expands and strengthens your auric field. And you can also do 7-1 breath also. So there's 3 different techniques. If you look up pranic healing by Master Choa, Master Choa, C-H-O-A. Right. If you look up Master Choa, C-H-O-A, he wrote several books on pranic healing and advanced pranic healing, in which that he gets into various techniques and information.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Right.
Awesome, man. Good looking on the info, bro. Keep doing your thing, man. Hotep.
All right, Hotep. All right, caller 0662, you're on the line. Ending in 0662. You might have your phone muted. You can come on the line. Unmute the phone and come on. 0662, and then in 0662. Come on. Peace. Can you hear me? All right. Then go to caller 9554. 9554, you're on the line.
Hey, this is Miguel
Pine L. Peace, greetings, Islam. How you doing?
Fine. I know that I'm listening to the auto. You know, I had some questions dealing with metaphysics and, you know, dealing with the ancestors and everything.
All right.
And I remember when I was younger, I had the desire when I was like about 11 years old. I had this desire to get this Nefertiti ring one day. And
mm-hmm.
I told my parents that I wanted it really bad. You know, I had to have it, you know. And so they finally, you know, they got it for me. And I had it for a while. Then one day, you know, I had decided, you know, that a couple years later, you know, my parents was like, you know, what did you, you know, they asked me what I wanted to be for Halloween. And I said I wanted to be dressed up as an Egyptian, you know. And that was about 3 years later, after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Then come to this time period when I just turned, you know, 27 years old, come to find out that my last name, McAlpine, goes back to Scotland. And then come to find out there was a book that was written about 127 years ago by a Scottishman who said that Scotland was actually named after an Egyptian princess named Scotia.
Right, Scotia, right. Queen Scotia from out of Ethiopia. You can get that from Sex and Race Volume 1 by J.A. Rogers.
So that information is valid?
That is right and exact information. Yes, it is.
So I was wondering, like, for me to having that type of feeling, and they was also saying that Scotia was supposed to have been, I'm not sure if it's true or not, that she was supposed to have been the daughter of Nefertiti and Akhenaten.
Right. That is accurate. Yes.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, was it my ancestors trying to, you know? Cause I always
of course
feel like
it was. I mean, all of this information, like we've been talking about tonight, is encoded within your DNA, your ancestral data bank. And anytime that you want to go into the Akashic records, you simply go with your mind and with the intent when you go to sleep or either when you do your meditation that you go into the Akashic records only to retrieve information in which that will connect the information for the people here upon planet Earth as well as also within your DNA. And you will be given the answers. You will be downloaded with it. This is how this works. Ask and you shall be given.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. We got. All right. It ended in 0662. You're on the line. Any questions?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hear me?
Yes.
I guess I never hung up from the first time, but anyway.
All right, well, if you got a question, you can continue.
I used to have a lot of dreams about flying through the stars. Does that mean anything?
Yes, you was astral traveling. You was having out-of-body experiences. That's what those are.
Oh.
Whenever you're flying, you're out of body. You're having an out-of-body experience.
I mean, I'm just like up in space. It's pitch dark,
right.
But I see the little white dots, stars.
Right.
And
you
I never
Well, you was on the astral plane. The word astral means star plane. So whenever time you see stars, that's the plane in which that you actually was on. It was the star plane. So that's what that was all symbolic too. So yeah, you was having out of body. You were having out of body experiences.
But when I try to personally do it, I can't ever do it. But in my dreams, sometimes I could just be flying. It looks so real.
Right. Well, what it is that there's an area in the brain called the right auricular, in which that is in the right hemisphere of the brain, in which that through proper meditation, you can actually open up that door anytime you want to and actually free the soul through it. However, when you go to sleep at night, the soul feel free enough in order to explore the cosmos. And normally that's what happens. The soul is free at the time during REM or REM sleep, which is called rapid eye movement. And the soul is able to come out the body during that time period and free itself, you know, from the flesh, from the fleshly or prison confines of the body.
So what is it, like taking a break or something?
Hell yeah. We all need breaks, don't we?
Yeah. So what is it, okay, like 6 years ago.
Right.
I was on the right side of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just laying flat on my back and just with my hands just, you know, across my chest. And my eyes was open, but I know I was asleep.
Right.
You understand me? And I could see myself floating at the top of me. I don't know how to take that. I ain't never told nobody about that dream. And
yeah,
I could see,
well,
I was
that,
like
that
I was looking at myself.
That was no dream. That's what you was doing. That you was having an out-of-body experience. That's what
again?
I'm talking. Of course, again.
I was so at peace. I wasn't
time.
Scared of nothing. I was just looking at myself lying
yeah,
down,
well,
and I could...
Why would you be scared of yourself? You're looking at yourself. You know how you look.
I'm like, what the heck? And I'm just
asleep. Yeah, yeah,
I know
yeah.
I'm asleep, but at the same time, my eyes are open. And I'm
right.
We face to face. It's just floating over me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have an out-of-body experience. We melanated people who are real connected to the spiritual world do that. You know, and it's time for us to learn how to do it consciously. And not just haphazardly or coincidentally. You know, we have to learn how to do these things whenever we want to. And that comes through meditation. And it comes through being able to absorb prana energy or chi or ra or ki or Holy Spirit energy. You know, being able to store it within the particular areas in our body, such as our navel chakra, the heart, as well as the third eye. The more energy that we can store in our body, being that our melanin acts as a partial charger, acts as a battery. You know, we can be able to take that energy when we go to sleep at night and use it in order to release the soul so that the soul can bring us back information. And that's what all that is
why
about.
Why my emotions, it's like I could, now I look at people,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I like kids. When a kid is, like, unhappy, I could, like, anyone's unhappy, it's like I could see it. And my heart goes out to him. And I
right.
have to catch myself sometime. I'll get in my car and start crying.
Right, right. Well, that just means that your kundalini is resonating right now at the heart chakra. So you're very emotional as far as caring for people. I mean, I've gone through that stage. You know what I'm saying? Right, it's a stage. You know, as your kundalini continue moving up to the throat, to the third eye, to the crown chakra, you won't feel as attached, you know, as you do right now, because the kundalini right now is resonating at your heart chakra. So whenever you see people's pain, your heart goes out to them. You know, right now you ain't
capable. Yeah, I'll be like,
yeah,
oh,
right,
God, I
want
to control this. I do not want to just see sad things. I could almost, like, feel what they're feeling in them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to happen for a certain time period. I mean, you're going to have to consciously say that you don't want to feel those things and then let yourself feel things that you feel positive about. So you're going to have to consciously say these things to yourself. Well, I don't want to feel that. I want to feel this.
Oh,
and guess
okay.
what? And guess what? You'll begin to feel what you want to feel. You'll begin to use those energies and those powers the way that you want to use it, not based on the way in which that is going on right now. You have to do everything consciously. You have to be a conscious being.
Oh, okay. Then, in other words, be true to myself.
Right.
Just, look, I don't need that right now. I can't do that.
Right. And then use another energy and use the energy the way in which that you want to use it at that particular time period. But you have to make a conscious effort to do it.
Because it's like we're so lost. We are so lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, we lost for right now. Don't worry. We're going to get it right. You know, all we do is win. You know, that's, you know, shoot. I like that song.
My heart. I want everybody to be saved. I want all my people saved. I love my people.
I know. That's where your Uncle Kalina is resonating at, is that heart chakra. I felt the same way. I was crying for niggas, too. I was doing all of that, too. But eventually I got out of that.
Okay.
What I mean by that is that the Kundalini continued moving up to the throat, to the third eye, and to the crown, and eventually I got to spiritualizing information more so than just feeling with it, in which that caused me to have those type of emotions. Now, when you're resonating in that area, like I said, you just have to be conscious of the way in which that you're using your emotional body, because right now that's what you're using is your emotional body. So just be conscious of it, and like I said, be conscious and do what you want to do with it. Say that you don't want to feel this way, you want to feel this way. And
okay,
keep
so
saying
you
so that you want to feel
everything's
going to
turn out okay then?
Of course. Always do.
So the devil's not winning?
The devil ain't never stepped into the ring.
Oh, okay. Cause,
how the hell are you going to beat the oldest people on a planet in the universe?
So that's why they're panicking
the gods and
right
goddesses
now?
Of the universe. How are you going to beat the gods and goddesses of the universe? Who we existed before the angels.
So in actuality, then, we are allowing them to exist right now.
Right. We're allowing them to exist. It's not vice versa.
Because I was telling myself, when I see something that has my attention that is a negative, I always go, it's not real, it's just an illusion.
Right. And then say
not
what
real.
You wanted to be. Right. And then start saying what you wanted to be. You control this Maya. You control this matrix.
So get into it and they say,
your mind is the magic wand, and whatever Merlin the magician, whatever your I dream a genie, whatever you think with your mind's eye is what will be.
Okay.
You have the power in this. Ain't nobody have no power over you. You have the power in this.
Okay. So I need to stop saying time is moving so fast.
Yeah. That's true. Time moves as it does. That's true. Time never was when man was not. You know what I'm saying? We existed before time. We existed before the pendulum swing.
Yeah, so time really don't exist.
We existed before the tick and the tock.
It's amazing how they could tell you who you are and how old you are, and they don't even know.
Right. Well, they don't, and that's why we went over this tonight. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go to the next caller. Thank you. All right, caller ended in 2868. You're on the line.
Hey, peace, Aileen.
Peace.
How you doing?
All right.
Love your show, man. I went back in the archives, man, and, you know, it's definitely on point. That place that caller about three callers ago, he was mentioning some place in Mexico, the Mexican region. He was trying to say the name Tamuancan. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, Tamuancan. Okay, got you. All right, got you. Yeah, I've heard of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and since you were talking about the Olmecs, there's some brothers that was touching on some ancient site in Peru. I don't know if you ever heard of this site called they call it Corral Supe. That's
yeah.
C-A-R-A-L.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know, I get kind of confused because you know I hear the Olmecs is the oldest civilization, and then the people of Corral-Supe.
That's what we were saying tonight is that they've been recognized as the oldest. Don't mean that they are because I showed that the information goes back to 600 million years ago, right in North America. So, you know, the Olmecs supposedly was here only 5,000 years ago. So we're talking about 5,000 years ago to compare to 600 million years ago. That's a long span of time. So, you know, that's the oldest lasting or surviving civilization that they know about in this Western Hemisphere is the Olmecs, all right? Of course, the Peruvian existed prior to that, you know, because the Peruvian is the Moruvian, you know what I'm saying, or the Lemurian. You know what I'm saying? That's what we was reading the passage earlier about those ancient connections between Peru, Maru, and Lemuria. You know, as well as also Sumeria, which is Sumeria, as well as Temuria, which is Tamil, which is Egypt. So all of them have a connections with the term derivative of the word more, you know, and the connection pieces to the word more, you know, in this ancient transliteration, not in this moderate transliteration of just, you know, 1913 through 1929. You know, we're talking about in the ancient context.
True, yeah. And like the other brother, and like that same brother was saying, you know, Ali Muhammad, he does touch on the, you know, the Tudushi and the, you know, the Amaru, you know,
right.
And, you know, when you touch on the serpent, it reminds me of when he teaches about, how they were called the serpent people from the
right.
The star constellation, the star constellation Drago.
Draco, right. Which is one of the shafts in which that come out the right hand side of the Egyptian pyramid on the Giza plateau and the Cheops or Khufu pyramid, in which that points directly towards the Draco constellation, in which that is one of the serpent constellations. But so is Hydra, oh, man, I mean, there's so many serpent, you know, constellations, it's ridiculous, you know, but they're all a symbolic to the activation of the Kundalini energy in its certain aspects.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been following you for a while, man, and, you know, all I got to say is, it's the return of the Moors, man. We come back strong.
Okay. All right, return of the ancient ones, exactly, no doubt.
Exactly. All right.
Peace. All right, peace. All right, y'all, we get ready to end it there. I'm glad that y'all came with us for tonight's discussion. Next week is going to be even better, so make sure y'all tell somebody about it. And we get ready to head out. And I guess, you know, for cats to really understand, you know, I got something, you know, in which that I feel, you know, about, you know, good about, you know, as far as the information, and I'm going to try to provide that for you all next week.
We gon' do it like check it out, yo. Yeah, through difficult times, it's hard to maintain. Looking for the shelter that blocks out the rain. Stress and pain can leave a mark on the brain. But one thing's for sure, black God remains. Through difficult times, it's hard to maintain. Looking for the shelter that blocks out the rain. Stress and pain can leave a mark on the brain. But one thing's for sure, black God remains. Through difficult times, lives are unexpected. My pops disapproves cause I wanna make records. But check it, my home life dissected. I feel neglected. I bounce the first chance again, I start to think a second. I wreck it, that I'm born and need a place to sleep. No means to cream, I call it. Mentality was rounded in the average cat. We snatch a cream, we sell a nigga's handle rap. I hit the tracks, I hold the sanctuary with my brothers. All is understood, peace lies amongst each other. But meanwhile, I maintain to keep the same. I smoke a blowin' every now and then to ease the pain. But through the struggle, I know the only God remains. Through difficult times, it's hard to maintain. Looking for the shelter that blocks out the rain. Stress and pain can leave a mark on the brain.
brain. But one thing for sure, black dog remains. Through difficult times, it's hard to maintain. Looking for the shelter that blocks out the rain. Stress and pain can leave a mark on the brain. But one thing for sure, black dog remains. The streets is bugged, seeing young soldiers peddle drugs by the pound. The scheme is to catch cream at a fast rate. Start moving the product from state to state. Lay up and watch the profit displayed. Now you're a big time hustler, full time heavyweight contender. But you must remember that your thoughts must be cold just like December. Stay low key so you won't catch a case. Flows coming in from the fields of smoke base. That mad clientele till your pocket starts to swell. The last thing on your mind is a jail cell. You're blind, all you see is money. Lost in illusion of luxury. It's a shame you're in the game for the fame and the name. You've been the world of misfortune. I heard with your slang at a scorching. Now your life is in jeopardy because younger brothers is living apart. Difficult times, it's hard to maintain. Looking for the shelter that blocks out the rain. Stress and pain can leave a mark on the brain. But one thing for sure, black guard remains. Through difficult times, it's hard to maintain. Looking for the shelter that blocks out the rain. Stress and pain can leave a mark on the brain. But one thing for sure, black guard remains.
Together as a single.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.